So in the 15th chapter, we had studied so far that it is the Lord who is the origin of the whole universe, and from him emerged the whole universe. And beings come and go through the different cycles of birth and death. We had spoken about that. I won't go into detail. And as they go through, they carry their karmas and their vasanas, and like a Vayur Gandha Nivashaya, just as air, when it goes through an orchard, carries the perfume. So an individual carries his or her own vasanas and carries them subsequently to subsequent births. And then Sri Krishna, last week we had studied in quite a lot of detail about two kinds of people. The ones who have the eye of wisdom and the ones who do not. So he says, Utkram mantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam vagunan vitam vimudha nanu pashyanti jnana chakshushah. So he says, I am there in you, whether you are residing in this body, or when you leave this body and go to other worlds and then take another body. And even while you are here and you are enjoying sattva, rajas and tamas, you may be even doing the most evil actions or doing the most pure actions. I am the enlivener. So the wise people who have the eye of wisdom, the third eye, because we have two eyes with which we see the world, but the wise people have a third eye of wisdom. That's why, you know, the ladies put tilak, and even those who do the puja, they put the tilak on the forehead, suggesting or symbolizing that it is my third eye of wisdom that I am trying to open. With that eye of wisdom, only you can see the Lord. Otherwise, all we see is the world and we say, where is God? I haven't seen God. But people who have this eye of wisdom can see the Lord everywhere, in every action, in every activity. And then he says in the next one, Yatanto yogi naschainam pashyantyatmanyavasthitam yatanto pyakritatmanaha nainam pashyanta achetasaha. The wise people see me constantly. While they are working in the world, they are constantly remembering that it is the Lord that is working through me. But people whose mind is impure and who do not have the right knowledge don't see me, and they get this ego that I am the doer, and then they suffer all the consequences of these actions. And we had last week studied how to remove this ignorance, how to remove this evil tendencies, vasana, so we won't go into that in more detail. So that's what we had studied last time. So today we shall study that how the Lord is immanent and transcendental, both. I'll talk a little bit about that before we actually get into the verse. Everybody can see this board? If not, please, you may want to move. And then this one, I have repeated the 14th verse again here for the people on this side because it's a little small. The board is a little crowded. So let's, before we begin the 12th verse, let us summarize what we have studied so far. As we said, the Lord is immanent. It's not imminent, it's immanent. There's an A, it's not a typo, that's the word. I actually had to Google the exact meaning of it because Gurudev uses it a lot in his commentary. So I said, let me see what exactly this word is. Actually, it's a beautiful word. But what they say when they talk about immanent, that which is all-pervading, which supports everything. So the Lord is the one that pervades everything. Everything that you see, the chair, the table, the humans, the animals, birds, plants, even space, everything is pervaded and supported by the Lord. But he not only pervades the whole universe, as we know, the universe extends for trillions of miles. They say so many billion light years you travel, you still can't reach the edge of space. So that is how far the universe extends. But they say the Lord not only pervades the entire universe, even space, even empty space, he's there. Even where there is nothing, he's there. But he's also there in all the other worlds. You know, Chode Lok Tumari Shaka. They say there are 14 worlds. One, this the visible world that we see. There are 6 worlds below us and 7 above us. So 14 worlds, he pervades all of them. And he still extends beyond that, beyond heaven, beyond hell, beyond all this Brahma Lok and Vishnu Lok and Shiva Lok and, you know, Kailash. Everything you see, everything he goes beyond. Just as the waves The ocean supports all the waves, right? Every wave emerges from the ocean. So the ocean is immanent in all the waves. It is immanent, it is supporting the waves, it is pervading the waves. But is the ocean only the waves? No. Waves are a very small part of the ocean. There's miles and miles of depth of ocean that we don't see. That you even, you know, some people have never, some people have not even discovered everything that is in the bottom of the ocean. So there is so much ocean below that we do not see. What only we see is the superficial waves that arise when we go to Santa Maria or, you know, Santa Monica or wherever. All you see is the superficial. So similarly, what we see, this visible universe, and even what we know through the Puranas, the heavens, hells and all, are a very small part of that Brahman, that consciousness. He is not only immanent, but he is transcendental, which means he is beyond all of these. There is a lot more of him in the Purush Suktam we have talked about. It says one part became this universe. This entire visible universe and the invisible universe, three quarters is still not known to us, that he extends beyond that. So Gurudev in his commentary gives a little funny story, which I can tell, about gold and jewelry. So it says that there was this lady who tells her husband, you know Ram Narayan's wife? He says, yeah. He said, did you notice her? He cannot say, I noticed. He said, no, I didn't. You didn't see the new necklace she was wearing? No, I didn't see it. You didn't see it? It was a 3 tola, you know, 3 ounces gold. 3 tola is an ounce, right? 3 ounces of gold. I didn't see it. You should have seen it. You know, Ram Narayan, he bought her this jewelry. Now this guy knows I'm in trouble. If he bought her, Ram Narayan is the neighbor and there is a constant competition. So he says, he just ignores it. So next day again, you know that jewelry, it was so nice. So now he has to address it because he directly, he says, look, you know, you look so beautiful as you are. I just like to see you. Whether you have that chain or not, it makes no difference. To me, you're still beautiful. And if you're wearing it for others, let them buy you the jewelry. For me, for me, you look as beautiful with or without. So that doesn't satisfy her. So slowly what happens? The next day the chapati, the roti, bread is burnt. The dal is watery. The vegetable has too much salt. Coffee is cold. So poor guy is suffering, you know. And every day something or the other, his socks are mismatched, you know, yellow and blue socks. And he's, you know, he's finally after 3-4 days, you know, he gives in. He says, can't escape it. You know, now I have to. If Ram Narayan bought and if I don't buy. So he tells his wife, okay, you know, I've talked to the jeweler. He'll come today. She, really? From that day onward, his coffee is perfect. His food is well cooked. Everything is good. So then the jeweler comes. So then he finds some old, his grandfather's old, you know, gold bars that he had been keeping for a rainy day, but he has to take them out. So he gives it to him and he says, you know, my wife would like a 3 tola, you know, necklace. It has to be as beautiful as hers or even better. Ram Narayan is the same jeweler. No problem. When will it be ready? Next week, sir. Next Friday you can come. So then every day things are going well. The next Friday she says, okay, today is the day, you know, go to the jeweler. So she goes there and the jeweler says, it's not ready yet. What do you mean ready yet? You told me 10 days ago it will be ready. Haven't got to it. No, it's in process. She says, in process. Have you started working on it? No, not yet, but it is in process because jewelers are like artists. You can't hurry them. Jewelers, tailors, they never give anything on time. You know, you have to, builders, house, never, nothing is ready on time. So he says, so when are you going to start? One of these days, you know, I have to get the mood. I have to get, you know, he's an artist, so you can't rush him. So every day his wife is telling him, did you get the necklace? It's not ready yet. He's not even started. Finally, after 4 or 5 visits, every day he has to go. Finally, he sees the jeweler is working on that piece. So from that gold bar, he has made now gold plates. So first day, so now he's happy. At least the work is started. Second day he goes, he finds there are wires, gold wires. Third day he has cut them into gold bits. And fourth day he has made them into gold rings. And after 6-7 days, and again every day he is hounding him, finally the necklace is made and it is brought, and everything is nice and peaceful at home. So the point of the matter is that whether it is the bar or whether it is the wire or whether it is the little bits or whether the rings or the finished necklace, they're all nothing but that one gold bar, one gold plate that had taken on various shapes. Somewhere it is a necklace, somewhere it is a earring, somewhere a bracelet, somewhere a nose ring or anklet. The names are different. The forms are different. You know, a necklace looks different from a earring. It looks different from a bracelet. The names are different. The form is different. The usage is different. One is on the nose. One is on the hand. One is on the feet. But in fact, they are nothing but gold and gold alone in different names and forms. So similarly, even though they say there is one Brahman, one consciousness, they say if there is one, why is there this variety of people? You know, every man is different. There are good and bad. There are billions of, you know, stars, and then there are so many different plants and fruits and vegetables and fish and animals, and not even one fingerprint matches another. They say never in history, you go even 10,000 years, never any human's fingerprint has ever matched, and with that kind of variety he is able to create. They have actually looked at fingerprints in caves and all. They said never has their fingerprint been reproduced. That's why they're able to identify. So the point is that one consciousness has become this beautiful variety of this whole wonderful world. Everything is, so just as from the ocean, the waves emerge, but waves are nothing but ocean and ocean alone. They may look different. Waves look different. Whirlpools look different. You know, currents look different. Streams, they look different, but they are all nothing but that one ocean. Different names and forms. So similarly, that one Brahman alone became all of us. We are all nothing but that one divinity appearing in different names and forms and different shapes. Now, why don't we see him? Because of the power of Maya, the power of vasanas. As just to summarize this chart for those who are new today, I think of myself to be this body, mind, and intellect. I have this body with which I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. And vasanas are my habits or my tendencies that obscure the vision of Om. Om is God or Brahman that is there in every one of us, the consciousness. But I am not able to see the Lord within because of my pressure of my vasanas or my ignorance. And because of that, I look for God outside in the world, but they say turn within and you will find his presence. Once you find him within, then it is very easy to see him in all beings. And that is what these Mahatmas, you know, there's a very beautiful saying, pehle aap pehchano re sadho, pehle aap pehchano, bine aap chinhe par brahm ko, kaun kahe main jano. He says, know yourself first. Know that you are that divinity. You are everybody, each and every one of us is that consciousness. Once you know him within, or her, or it, that consciousness, then it is very easy to see him in all the plants and birds and animals and humans. You say, even in my brother-in-law? Yes, even in your brother-in-law, he's there. In your sas also? Yeah, he's in my mother-in-law too. He's there in everybody, but we don't see it because it is obscured by the vasanas. So that is, in brief, the summary of the that the God is immanent and transcendental. Another example they give is the movie light. You know, nowadays, of course, I don't think they have those things, you know. In the olden days, I know, we had talked last week, these movies that go on these two, you know, spools, and the movie moves fast on the spool, and the light projects, and then the light, and then when you're in the movie theater, this I'm talking in the 60s, and so those who remember, you know, you're telling us your age. But anyway, so those in the 60s and all, you could see that the movies would move on the spool, and then in the middle, the spool would break. So while the spool is running, nobody's paying attention to the light. They are watching the movie on the screen, the hero and heroine and the villain, and you know, all the problems that poor thing she's going through and all that. But the moment the spool breaks, oh, the whole hall starts screaming. Why? Because the film broke and now all you see is only the light, then you pay attention to the light. That is because of the light of that behind the projector, this whole movie was being projected upon the screen. And then he has to repair that, and then the moment the movie starts, everybody is happy. So similarly, we see this world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, and my body, mind, and intellect, and that is the play, that is the movie that is going on. And we don't pay attention to the light of consciousness that is behind me, that is making me talk, the light of consciousness that is making the plants grow, and that's making you all listen. So pay attention to that, and when you do that, then you'll say, it's such a miracle, it's such a marvel. If the moment you become aware of that light, that consciousness, then the whole world changes for you. Then the world is, then it becomes just a play, just a drama, because then you see my beloved Krishna is there in everybody. It's my beloved Shiva, my Jesus. I see everybody, that one consciousness. So that is the beauty of this knowledge. So that is what I thought I would summarize so far, that so far we have seen the Lord as being immanent, and now he will talk more about where you can find me. That's why the 15th chapter is so beautiful, because Bhagavan Krishna himself gives examples of where you can see me. So anywhere you see how I function through you and every activity of yours, I am illumining. So it's a very, very nice chapter, very clear description of who God is and where he is. Of course, by the Lord himself. So that's the beauty of the Bhagavad Gita. So verse number 12. Yada ditya gatam tejaha. Jagat bhasayate khilam. Yachandramasi yachagnau. Tattejo vidhi mamakam. So he says that yat, which aditya gatam tejaha. Aditya means the sun. That's one of the names of sun. He has many other names, Pushana and Ravi and all those. But here they use the word aditya. Gatam tejaha, the vitality, the power, the energy in the sun. Jagat bhasayate akhilam. Akhilam, this entire world is illumined by the sun. You know, the sun is the one that is giving all the energy to the plants to grow, to the humans to function. If the sun were not there, this planet would be frozen and we would be like, you know, Neptune or, you know, some of the distant planets, Uranus and all, which are so far from the sun that they do not get the sun's energy, and it's just frozen ice and there's no life can exist. But the earth, because the sun is close to us, not even that close like Mercury, if it was too close then it would get burnt. It is at the right distance where we can actually get the sun's energy, but not too much and not too little. And that's, in fact, that's what the search for modern astronomy is. They're trying to find what they call as twin planets. Twin planets means planets that are exactly like the earth. They're looking in distant stars, you know, and of course some of them are like several, you know, thousand light years away, or, you know, so many light years away. But these are stars who have planets at the same distance from the sun and the earth. And they are hoping that somehow if they can contact those planets, maybe there may be life. Because life can only be supported in a very narrow area. The sun, too close to the sun, it gets burnt. Too far, it gets frozen. So, yada ditya gatam tejaha. Jagat bhasayate akhilam. This whole world is illumined by that. Yat chandramasi. And in the moon, yat cha agnau. In the fire, tat tejo viddhi mamakam. So I am the energy. I am the vitality in the sun that illumines the whole universe. I am also the moonlight and I am also the fire. So they say, how can you be all? You know, like we said, you know, how can you be everything? This is not. Well, the example they give is electricity. Now, electricity says, I am the heat in the oven. I am the cooling in the air conditioner. I am the movement in the fan. I am the light in the bulb. So how can you be all? But electricity says, I am. It is my presence in my presence. Electricity does not change. But electricity in the air conditioner, it's cooling. In the heater, it is heating. In the fan, it is rotating. In the light, it is illumining. So that one light, that one electricity, one energy appears in all different electrical instruments, all different electrical equipments in different forms, and it functions. So similarly, that one light of consciousness illumines all the luminaries. So here, when they say sun, moon, and fire, they mean all anything that is illumining. You can include electricity in that also. So what he's saying is that when the sun is giving out its energy, the vitality, I am the one. Because people ask, you know, oh, there was the Big Bang. And then the universe emerged. And then from the sun, they broke off the nine planets. And then the sun. But who created the sun? Where did the sun get its? They say, we don't know. The science can only go up to the Big Bang. But what was the energy that created the Big Bang? Why is it that these stars, these sun and all have so much energy? Where did that energy come from? Who created? They say, don't ask us that. You know, we don't know that. All we know is what our instruments can see. If our instruments cannot see God, that God doesn't exist. Okay, God doesn't exist, but somebody must have given energy to. They don't have an answer to that. So it says that the energy that is given to the earth is the one that then goes into the plants. And then when it goes into the plants, then that creates the plants, right? The plants grow. Why does the plant grow? You know, people say, you know, I grew, you know, eggplant in my house, or I grew this, you know, tomatoes. What did you do? Did you go every morning and, you know, massage those trees or those plants, or did you oil them? Nothing. All you do is, in fact, in our house, we have three trees, you know, fig and orange and lemon. And they have been there for 20 years, and we do nothing for them. Nothing. Not put a drop of fertilizer. All we do is the sprinkler waters it every day. That's the only thing. And they produce such beautiful, sweet, you know, figs and oranges and lemons. Beautiful. Every year, I mean, they just flood that, you know, the tree. And I say, where did this come from? Who is the one? We don't do anything. And you say, I grew these, you know, I myself. What did you do? Yeah, you put the seed in the ground, you dug it. But after that, the Lord is the one who does everything. Everything that is grown, anything. The farmer says, this is my land and I grew it. Yeah, farmer plowed it, but that's about it, and put the seed. After that, the Lord took over. It was his rain that nourished it. It was the sun that fed it. It was the moon, you know, that nourished it. We'll talk about the moon later on. So it says that the luminaries are illumined by him, but the luminaries cannot illumine the Lord, like we had talked a couple of weeks back. The sun is illumined by the Lord, but the sun cannot illumine him. Just as the sun illumines the whole earth, but can we illumine the sun? We can't, right? The sun is self-luminous. In fact, there's a beautiful story. I had told that a while back, but it's worth repeating. There was this guru and his disciples, and they were living in a cave which was very dark and cold. And that's how the guru wanted to live. So the shishyas, all disciples, all lived there. And so one morning he tells the disciple, you know, go out and see, has the sun risen or not? You know, and it was like a deep, far cave. So the man took a flashlight and he was walking. He said, why are you taking the flashlight? He said, well, I want to see with the flashlight if the sun has come out or not. You know, that's foolish, right? So similarly, we cannot illumine the sun with our little flashlight or our little light or tube light or whatever. Why? Because it is the sun that is illumining everything. And because of the sun's energy, everything is illumined. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. We do that in the aarti, that it, oh Lord, it is because of your energy that everything is illumined. The sun, the moon, the fire, the electricity, even the electrical. You say electricity came from PG&E. Yes, but the ability, how when they run water or when they burn coal, where does that electricity come from? The energy that comes in the fire. Or when you burn the wood, the ability of the wood to create fire comes from the Lord. So that is why they say that anything that is vitalized, that is illumined, that has energy. I am the one, it is me who is giving energy. So the sun cannot illumine him, because they say that the world is, it's a different world, just as there are three worlds, the dream sleep, the dream state, the deep sleep, and the waking. In the dream, I cannot know the waker, even though I may be dreaming and I am asleep in my bed in Bakersfield, but I am dreaming that I am with my parents in India. At that time, I don't know the waker. I don't know that I am asleep in Bakersfield. But when I wake up, I say, oh, this whole dream world was created in my mind. You know, in my mind, I imagined that I was in, took a plane, I went to India, I went to see my parents, and I talked with them, and then I came back. So that, where did that world was created? In my own mind, with my own thoughts, with my own. So at that time, I was in the dream state. So similarly, this whole world is an expression in the Lord's mind. In the Lord's mind, we are all playing, and that's the energy. So that's this verse. Yada ditya gatam tejaha jagat bhasayate khilam yat chandramasi yat chagnav tat tejo vidhi mamakam. So know me as the energy that is there in the sun, the moon, and the fire. Fire includes all the visible, including electricity and everything. So any comments or any questions about this verse?
Regarding the plants that we grew, we are the ones.
No, we do some role, but I'll talk a little more in the next one about that. I made it. I'll talk a little more. But the fact is that, yes, I do have a role to play. I'm not a useless creature, obviously. But even the ability of the farmer to think, the ability of his hands to actually, you know, move the tractor, the ability of him to put the... So everything actually comes from that. And once he has planted, then his job is over. Then the whole growth and everything is done by the Lord. But our role in it is very limited. And that's the idea we have to understand. It's not that if the farmer hadn't planted that, obviously, you know, the crop wouldn't grow. Yes, so, and that's all. And same thing, when you build a factory, for example, you know, and you say, well, I built this factory. You did, in a way, but think about it. The ability to think and plan the factory came from you, from the Lord. Then the architect you had to use, then you had to use a builder, then you had to use so much labor, electricians and plumbers and, you know, masons and, you know, all these people were involved in it, and then the financial people, the bankers. So many people participate, and then once the factory is built, so many labor is every day working for you, the manager. So the point is that there is so much, you know, contribution from society. So to think that I did it, that's the idea, is to not have this ego, but to constantly be thankful to the Lord for whatever we have. Even my ability to earn, you know, say, oh, I earned with my hard work, but the ability to earn also came. So, yeah, that is the idea. But that's a good point. Thank you.
All the cells in your body kind of put together.
True. Yeah, once the seed is planted, yeah, then it is 9 months, yeah. Right. True. But for the 9 months, yeah, he's taking care of the baby and, you know, providing it nutrition. The umbilical cord is doing everything, whatever it's needed. Yeah. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hi, Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.